Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. I'd like to talk about a couple things today, and believe it or not, this is going to be the 20th installment of our series, The Grab Bag. So, buckle your seatbelts, let's get started. So, the first thing I'd like to touch on is real brief. I don't know how many politicians actually believe women shouldn't be able to vote, but I got some news for them. If you think that women shouldn't be able to vote, you need to get a brain for two main reasons. Actually, three. First, the Bible says that God created women too. Women are human too. And so if they are of age and they are U.S. citizens and they can prove that they are U.S. citizens and they are not sitting in jail right now, because I believe that even if you're an ex-con, if you've already served your time and you're not on parole or anything, you're free, you should be able to vote again. I know not every state has that philosophy, but leaving that aside, I believe this. If you are a U.S. citizen, you can prove you're a U.S. citizen, you are 18 or older, and you are not sitting in jail right now, and you have an address of some sort, you should be able to vote. It's that simple. And so, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter if you were born here or not. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. Even if you vote for things that I strongly oppose, that's a topic for another day. The point is, right now, we live in the real world, and so there are going to be things on the ballot that I, and people on the ballot that I strongly dislike. And they have been put there legally. The proper channels have been followed. And so, with the way the system is right now, you have that right to vote for those things, even if they're things that I strongly oppose. And so the idea that women should be arbitrarily excluded from that is ridiculous, unbiblical, and completely, lacking any principled justification whatsoever, which ties into reason number two, which is, hello, newsflash, anyone home? Conservative women exist, including yours truly. So, not every woman is going to vote liberal. And again, even if a woman does vote liberal, it's her right. But, if you want to justify subjugating an entire half of the population, keeping them out of political life, because a significant chunk, but not all, of that population votes differently than you, well, then we're going to have a bit of a problem. I'm not even getting into the social issues in this episode, really, other than voting rights, because I don't want to get too into the weeds. We'd be here all night. And I said this would be quick. But what I'm getting at is this. In our system that we live in right now, no one group, whether that group believes in the truth or agendas that work against the truth, is going to be 100% satisfied. We should fight for a more biblically oriented world. I have done that and will continue to do so. And this episode is not to suggest that I have abandoned any of my principles. I am very passionate about what I believe on a lot of issues, economic, social, etc. But, right now, we live in a country where it is very polarized, and a lot of people have principles that are very different from the ones that I advocate. And the First Amendment allows for them to hold those views. The First Amendment doesn't guarantee a right to vote, but it does guarantee a right to freedom of speech. even political speech that the government does not like. There are some exceptions, obviously. If you threaten somebody, if you incite violence, if you make a plan to carry out violence, and there are also things that, even if they're technically legal, should be socially discouraged. There are certain topics that just shouldn't be talked about in public. But political speech is protected, largely. And so that is related to, it is built on a similar principle to the right to vote. So even if you're not directly violating the First Amendment, by preventing women from voting, you would be violating the 19th Amendment. But even putting that aside, you'd still be violating the spirit of not only the Constitution, but also the Declaration of Independence, because the Declaration of Independence states that citizens are entitled to rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty is the one I'm hitting on here. The one I'm hitting at right now, because part of liberty, a lot of people think it's, you know, the right to just do whatever the heck you want. And I think it's a bit different. It's the right to be able to do what you should, to be able to live in a society where it is orderly and it is, you are not at risk of being persecuted, say, for worshiping God. You are not at risk of being arbitrarily thrown into a labor camp because of something your uncle did. And you are able to participate in the political process. Like, those are basic parts of liberty, as I understand it. And so I would argue that if you are going to say that women shouldn't have the right to vote, it is both biblical and un-American to argue that. And so, my suggestion is this. If anyone who thinks women shouldn't be able to vote, we should take them all and we should dump them on the island of Palmyra for a month, reality TV style. Have them build their own society. And then we should check in on them a month later and see if they want to come back home, if they want to return to society, or if they just want to continue to live there. And if they want to continue to live there, okay. Now they can have their own society where they can enact all their crazy laws. That's not wishing ill or death on anyone, but it's also wishing that they'd go away. Now, I would like to also touch on the Cracker Barrel situation. The live update is that Cracker Barrel has announced that it is reverting back to its old logo. USA Today has that, Daily Wire has that, several sources all state that Cracker Barrel has ditched the yellow logo that looks like what would happen if a biscuit ate part of the Chernobyl elephant's foot and then threw up everywhere. The sources don't say that. I added that part, but they refer to it as a new simplified logo. Well, thankfully, Cracker Barrel has ditched that and they're going back to the old logo. And this should be a sign. I know some people are like, why should anyone care about Cracker Barrel? Well, this should be a sign that we don't have to just sit back and take woke rebrands. I know it's a business. It can do what it wants. But it can also, every action has consequences. We think of consequences as a bad word because it always has negative connotations, usually when it's used. But technically, a consequence can be positive or negative because a consequence is just the logical result of a decision that you make. It is not always a punishment like we are taught to think of it as kids. It is defined by the Google AI thing as the result or effect of a particular action or situation, often implying a negative outcome. It can refer to both the results, the direct results of actions, and the importance of those results in a broader context. And Google cites Cambridge University and some site I've never heard of. So that's a consequence. It does say it's often a negative connotation, but a consequence can be positive or negative. So if I have a rock and I hit myself in the head with it, I'm going to have a wild goose egg on my head. That's a consequence. If I go to school and I get all A's and I graduate with a bunch of honors, that's a consequence. But that one's positive. So, in this case, Cracker Barrel had the right to, they were allowed as a business to come up with this ugly logo, which they had help with that. Apparently, there were marketing agencies and such. They had the right to do that. But they faced the controversy, the criticism that came from that, the drop in their stock, the people that decided they weren't going to go eat there, so drop in sales. And, you know, that's the thing, is two things I want to mention that this brings up beyond the progress for its own sake stuff that I said in another episode, is one, people seem to think that just because we're a free country, that you're free from consequences. And I've noticed this a lot on the left, but even among, like, people that I don't know their political affiliations, or they might be on the right. And it's not always in a political context either. Like, I've noticed some old people will make rude comments about somebody else, and they'll be like, I've lived this long, I can say that. And that mentality is part of a broader notion that people seem to have. And I would guess it's probably not just an American thing. It's probably a human nature thing, at least in part. But this idea that you should be free from consequences, that you, just because you can do something, that means you should be free from any consequence that ensues, especially negative consequences. So, like, you've seen this when it comes to the BLM crowd, that, you know, if some hooligan gets shot by police because they were, running around waving a gun in the air, or they threatened a cop, or they, you know, tried to run him over with their car, or did something else that was stupid and stupid and very illegal and just was not going to help them. Obviously, I'm not wishing for anyone to be shot by a cop or by anyone else for that matter. I mean, I don't wish death or ill on anybody, obviously. But just using that as a common example in politics, is you hear about a story like that, and then the people will be like, well, they shouldn't have been shot. They shouldn't have been shot by cops. Da, 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 da. But you never hear from those same people. And they also shouldn't have been running around waving toy guns around that look real and menacing people, or they shouldn't have been threatening police officers, or they shouldn't have, they should have complied with a traffic stop, or whatever the case may be. You never hear anything like that. And I'm not saying that means that there's never any wrongful deaths by cops. I'm not saying that cops never mess up. Sure they do. But in the vast majority of cases, these people have done something stupid, and then it has ended very badly for them. Or you'll have people who quote-unquote come out, which for the uninitiated means that they've announced to the world their intent to live in sin and to build their identity on the sin that they are living in, and specifically fleshly sin of the after hours variety or of the dating variety, or both. And so, you know, you'll have these people who will announce that, and then if they receive any backlash whatsoever, they'll get all up in a knot. And it's like, you announced that. You made it publicly known. If you make something publicly known, whatever it is, you have to expect you will receive some negative pushback. Because not everybody is going to praise what you're trying to do. Obviously, that example is, you know, you're announcing your intent to live directly against God's word. But, like, even something that is more morally neutral. So, let's say that I went on here and announced that for the rest of my life, I will never again wear a green shirt. That I hate green shirts. Green shirts are evil. Green shirts are bad. Green shirts are stupid. I can't believe anyone would wear a green shirt. I refuse to ever wear a green shirt again. I'm obviously not actually saying that. I'm just using that as an example. If I announce that, granted, some of that's not the most edifying language. So, you know, if you wanted to really get technical when it comes to the Bible, but we're not trying to do that as much as I'm just trying to illustrate this to you. If I publicly announced that I refuse to ever wear a green shirt again, I will not be caught dead in a green shirt. Green shirts are, you know, if I had this passionate distaste for green shirts, which I don't actually, but even if I did, and I publicly made that known, I would have no right to then get all up in a knot if a few people said, "You're being crazy. What is it with you and green shirts? Why? I can't believe you would never want to wear a green shirt again. Like, there's nothing wrong with a green shirt." You know, I would have no right to get all up in a knot if somebody said that to me. Why? Because by publicly announcing my intent to never wear a green shirt again and my distaste for green shirts, I would be making that fair game by definition. If I publicly announce something like that, I am by definition making it fair game for public comment. If you don't want something to be fair game for public comment, then don't announce it. Now, sure, there are some things people shouldn't say. You know, if somebody cussed me out for making that decision to never wear a green shirt, they shouldn't do that. Because, I mean, the Bible says not to use foul language, and, you know, that wouldn't be a very compassionate way to approach a situation like that, especially considering that if I did announce something like that, that would probably mean I needed to get my head checked. So, that would, cussing me out for that would be extremely unhelpful. But yeah, there are some things you shouldn't say, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people won't in their flesh say those things. Nor does it even mean that the government should legally prevent them from saying those things. The idea of hate speech laws is ridiculous for that very reason. Because for one thing, a lot of things that are considered to be hate speech, as I did a whole episode on this, there is a such thing as hate speech, but a lot of the things that are considered hate speech by these people are not actually hate speech, because hate is when you dislike something or someone or a group so much that you wish death on that person or group, or you wish for that thing to no longer exist, or even if that thing stopped existing or that person or group all died off, or, you know, the person died, you would either feel joy or you would feel literally nothing at all, like not even an abstract sense of like if you knew that person had died, you wouldn't even feel an abstract sense of, huh, that's sad. You would feel nothing, or you would feel happy about their death. And so hate is a very strong feeling, and there is speech that echoes that. I mean, there is sadly whole groups of people who they either deny that the Holocaust happened, or they say that 6 million wasn't enough, referring to the 6 million Jews that were tragically killed in the Holocaust. I'm sorry to say that, but those people do exist. Thankfully, they are, as far as I can tell, a pretty small minority, but they do exist, sadly. And when those people say those things, that is hate speech, obviously, as anti-Semitic hate speech. It is literally wishing death or denying it in the case of Holocaust denial. I mean, it's not exactly wishing death, but it does not imply good things. And the claim that 6 million wasn't enough is obviously definitely wishing death on the Jews, and that is disgusting, frankly. There's no other word for it. It's disgusting. It's hate speech. But saying that you biblically cannot condone the choice of a girl to date another girl is not hate speech. Because you don't hate her as a person. You just can't condone what she's decided to do with her life. And if she decides to make that her whole identity, well, then that's on her to misinterpret that as hate. If she misinterprets that as hate, that is her problem. That is on her end. No one else's. Just like if you drove drunk and I said, I cannot biblically or just generally morally speaking, or legally for that matter, cannot, like, when it comes to the law, like, I cannot condone, like, the law does not specifically say that I will go to jail if I condone you, but you know what I mean, I cannot say you were not breaking the law by driving drunk, and I cannot morally condone your decision to drive drunk, and I biblically, obviously, cannot condone your decision to drive drunk either, but if you interpret all that as that I hate you for driving drunk. No, I don't. You made a bad decision. I don't even know if I hate that decision. It was just a stupid decision you made. And if you publicly, you know, and if you tell me that you did that, if you don't publicly announce it, but you tell me, I know. It would not be my place to publicly announce, hey, Bob drove drunk last night. But if you tell me, then you have made that known to me. And so you have, you know, because you have made that known, I have a right to have an opinion about that thing. Now, what language I use to express that opinion and the amount of discernment I use when deciding how and if I will express that is on me to decide. And since a lot of people don't have Jesus, a lot of people just live in their flesh, You know, a lot of people won't use that kind of discernment. And so if you're going to publicly announce something, you have to take that into account. Because you cannot control what anybody else says. You can only control what you announce to the world. And so if you publicly announced that you drove drunk, well, people would be able to comment on that because you've made it fair game for commentary. And so where I'm going with that is when it comes to Cracker Barrel or other businesses for that matter, deciding that they want to, rebrand and specifically rebrand in a woke manner. Well, that's a public announcement. That's a public rebrand. That's a public logo change. So because all of that is public, they have opened the door to commentary. They may not like what they hear, but they can't control what other people say. And so where I'm going with all of that is your freedom of speech and your freedom, you know, freedoms related to that do not grant you freedom from consequences. Like, they just don't. That's, and a lot of people seem to miss that. And as I said, it's not even just on political matters. And so that's a mentality that seems to be pretty common. You do hear it a lot in politics, especially among leftists. Or the one that really gets under my skin, too, regardless of political affiliation, because depending on who wins, you'll hear this from either side. You'll have someone who didn't vote at all, and then they'll complain about what happened in the election. Now, I've been clear about that you shouldn't rely on politicians to solve all your problems. And I'll say that till I'm blue in the face. But if you... Yeah, and sure, one vote is not going to necessarily control who wins. Whether I vote or not is not going to determine who wins. Or you or anyone else, individually speaking. However, if you don't vote at all, the consequence is that you can neither be happy that the candidate you voted for won or be sad that the candidate you voted for lost because you didn't participate. So that's the consequence, is that either way, you're up a creek. Leaving my two-party system thoughts aside for a second, either way, you're up a creek. Because you didn't vote for either one or for any of them. Because you didn't vote. So, I mean, that's the consequence. Sorry. You snooze, you lose. No matter who wins. So, those are my thoughts on that. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, the RSS feed, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. And if you feel so inclined, you can send us an email at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS firesidechats @gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next time and pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested. And if you feel so inclined, you can leave us a small donation at ko-fi.com/jessesfiresidechats. That's ko-fi.com/jessesfiresidechats. No pressure, but if you would like to do that, we would really appreciate it. Thank you, and have a blessed day.